Good morning, church. I am so excited and happy to be here with you to open up God's Word. And as I was preparing, believe it or not, this word that came to my heart as I began to pray, I said, God, what is it that you want me to do, and when do you want me to do this? Chicago Tabernacle was the first words that came into my mind, and God wanted this word to be spoken here. So I was quite blessed when I was contacted by Shelley saying, Pastor Toledo is going to be out of town and would like to know if you could help us. I just knew it was the Lord orchestrating things together. And then when I found out that we were having baptism, man, I'm so amped to be here this morning. Yeah. Found out before the service that last year at this church, we baptized 125 souls, got baptized. As I thought about that in the office right before the service, I sensed the Lord telling me, I want to do 250 this year. I want to see that number doubled in this house. How many want to see 250 souls, Lord, baptized this year? I really believe God wants to do that. And I want to talk to you about how God wants to accomplish that by using you and I. I want to remind you of what we need to do to see 250 souls saved this year in this house. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, everybody say however with me. He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. Now go down to verse 16 in chapter 4. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So if we just read this verse, notice that the Bible says that God has given each of us a special gift. Amen. When you and I embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches us that the Spirit of the Lord then comes and resides within our spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes and resides in our heart, it is a guarantee that we now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in addition to that, I want you to see this morning that when the Holy Spirit comes, He releases within you, within every single one of us. Let me see your hand if you're born again, if you said yes to Jesus. Every single one of you that have your hand raised, we have all received a special gift within us. There are samples of some of these gifts in the Bible. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me read verse 7 through 11. Could you put that on the screen? Listen, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Tell them that's talking about you. So we can help each other. The one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice to another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So notice, every single one of us receives a gift from the Holy Spirit. God is the one, by His Spirit, who determines what gift you receive. You can't go and say, well, I want this gift or I want that gift. No, the Holy Spirit is the one that determines that. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and read that. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. It is giving. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. This is just but a sample that we've read of in these two portions of Scripture of some of the giftings that the Bible highlights. And this is a gifting is not a talent. I want to make sure you understand that. Your gift is not a talent. It is a spiritual impartation from God that gives you the ability to do what He is calling you to do. You see, the people that are in the back in the media, they don't have the talent to do media. They have the gifting that God put in them to do media. Amen. There are people that are up here, the worship team. It's not because they can hold a note and sing. They don't have that on their own. They weren't born singing. The Spirit of the Lord put that in them so that they can stand here and lead them using their gifting to worship God and to help you and I to worship God. I do not have the gifting to sing. Would you like me to prove that? We all have different gifts. Some of us have the gift to serve, the ushers. Some of us have the gift to work with babies in the nursery. There are teachers in this room that are specifically gifted to work with children, with teenagers. We all have different gifts. The Bible teaches us. But every single one of us does have at least one gift put in there by the Holy Spirit. Now, I have discovered that sometimes the gift that's within us is dormant. By that I mean it is not being used as it ought to be. And that could be because some of us don't understand what that gifting is. Some people don't know. I don't know what my gifting is, Pastor. There are people that their gifting is dormant because they are, maybe you came from another church and you were hurt or wounded in the church you came from. And so you've come here and there's a healing going on in your life, but you've gone into that place where, and I know I've been there, where you say, I'm not going to get involved. I'm just going to sit. I don't want to do nothing. I just want to be able to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Leave me alone. And the gift is dormant. And some of us, our gift is dormant because we're just plain old lazy. Amen. There are some of us that want to come to church and just be sponges. I just want to receive. Now talk to me about giving. Don't talk to me about serving. I just want to receive. Now, I want you to notice that in both our texts, the Bible reminds us that the gift is never for you personally. It is to help others. Specifically, it is to help others grow in the grace that God has apportioned. That means if you have a gifting that's not being used, you are holding somebody back from growing spiritually. I want you to see how significant this is and important and critical it is. When we don't use our gifting, when our gifting is dormant, we are withholding the potential growth that could be in the body of Christ. God wants to see 250 souls saved, go in this water baptism tanks, and declare their faith publicly in Christ. But for that to happen, we need everybody in this room using their giftings. Thank you. There was one sister who said amen. I'll take that, sister. As we each exercise our gift, the body, the church, grows. So come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, we need you to use your giftings. Remember, every single one of us has a gifting. Let me go over here, because somehow this side thinks that, well, because all the pastors are over there, this is the side for, let me hide out over here. There are tremendous gifts in every seat here today. Amen. Please don't tell me, but Pastor, you don't know. I don't have any gifting. Everybody has a gifting. One of my giftings is to be able to cause trouble. I mean, that's a gift from God. If you don't know what your gifting is, let me encourage you at the end of this service to get over to the Becoming Center and find out what the Becoming Track is all about, where we can sit with you and help you to navigate that and discover your gifting. Every single one of us has a gift specifically placed within our lives by the Holy Spirit so that it can be used to help others on their spiritual journey. Now, having said that, let me go come over here for a second. There's something else I want to talk to you about. And that's a look at your neighbor and say, just give him a moment. Another one of my giftings is to create problems. So if I light the church on fire, you know I'm just exercising my gift. There you go. Look at that. I trust that you can see that well.
No.
2 Timothy.
I can't see it.
Okay, you can look up on there on the screen. We're going to hit the pause button right now. Because I believe with all my heart that one of the giftings that every wife in this room has is the ability to just nudge her husband along in the way that he should be nudged. Can I get a witness, husbands? I want to introduce you to my nudge. My baby, would you stand up? Come on. Hey, there she is. September will be 48 years she's been nudging me. You know why I love churches? Because we are a family.
Amen.
And we just need to be real. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid on my hands on you. The Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a pastor himself. And he's reminding Timothy, Timothy, you've got to fan into flames this gift that's inside of you. I want to remind you about that. And if Timothy, a pastor, needed reminding, how many know everybody in this room needs reminding this morning? We all need to be reminded that it's important that we identify, yes, there is a gifting by the Holy Spirit within me, but here's the charge that I am reminded of, that all of us are reminded of this morning, and that is that we have to fan into a flame this spiritual gift. Amen. We have to make sure that it keeps burning. Fan into a flame. What does that mean? Flames represents passion. Zeal, to use a word that we don't really use much in our vocabulary today. spiritual fervor. Romans chapter 12, verse 11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord.
Amen.
So notice, we are not just to serve, meaning using our gift, but we are to serve with zeal, with spiritual fervor, this holy passion. And again, Paul is reminding the believers, never be lacking in zeal, which means if we're not careful, you and I could be lacking. We can serve, but without passion. The Bible says this in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Remember, the fire must be kept burning on the altar at all times. It must never go out. The fire has to be kept burning at all times. It must never go out. The passion for that gifting that's within you has to be ignited. You can't ever let your passion wane. And the reminder from Paul to Timothy, a pastor, is you have to make sure that that gifting that's within you is being used through the vehicle of passion. Why would Paul say that? Well, because when you have a passionless gift, all it is spiritual ashes before God. What do I mean by that? I'm going to use this precious brother here. I'm just picking you because you're an usher and you happen to be standing there. So this has nothing to do with him personally, but he's just an example that we can use. He can serve as an usher without passion if he's not careful. The worship team, they can sing all the songs and sing them without passion. The musicians can play because they know how to play. They've been doing it long enough and they can do it without passion. I have been preaching now for over 30 years. I know how to produce a sermon. If I'm not careful, I can preach without passion. You have people who are serving our children, and they can teach our children without passion. You see, no matter what ministry you can name, if we and I are not careful, we can get to the point where everything becomes routine. I've done this thing long enough. I'm tired. I'm just going to go and do what I have to do. And then we wonder why we're not seeing souls saved. We wonder why lives are not being transformed. It could happen to any one of us at any time. This is why God's word is reminding us, brothers and sisters, that we have to fan into flame. You have to be transparent and honest with yourself to know when you don't have the passion anymore. And I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care what your title is. Every single one of us, beginning with the speaker, has been in a place where we lost our passion. When we come to church, and if we are involved, we can be involved because we know we have to be, but we're passionless in our involvement.
Yes. Yes.
And as far as God is concerned, you might as well not get involved. God is not interested in passionless service. God doesn't deserve passionless service. So, now this thing called passion, zeal, just like a real fire, needs two things. A real fire needs oxygen and fuel, something to burn, right? Oxygen and fuel. Well, spiritually, it's the same way. If we want to stir this gift and stir it and fan it into flames, we need oxygen.
Amen.
And that oxygen is the breath of God.
Amen.
You see, the breath of God is what produces life and growth. Amen. It is never talent.
Amen.
The mistake that you and I make sometimes in serving God is that we think that talent can transform lives. Right. I was once in a church, and I was a guest speaker, and I got there early, and the worship team was rehearsing on the platform, and I was sitting right in the front row. And after the rehearsal, the worship leader gathered everybody together, and he said, okay, now remember, everybody, you got to make sure that you stay on the right notes and you do the right things and follow my lead. I don't want anybody worshiping. Just follow me. And I sat there, and my heart sank. How could people who are on the worship team lead others to worship if they're told not to worship? You know why? It was all about talent. Making sure you had the right note and the right beat and the right, all of that stuff. We can serve and do everything right on the outside, but if the breath of God doesn't breathe on it, we need God to breathe on the ushers, on the greeters. We need God to breathe on our next-gen teachers, those who work with our children, and those who work with our teenagers. We need God to breathe on the media and all those that, and the responsibility that they have. We need God to breathe on the worship team afresh and anew. We need God to breathe on our pastor, on our staff, on our leadership council. Because the last thing that we need is every single one of us coming to church and going through the motions and doing what we got because it's become routine. Oh, God, help us. Many years ago, there was a pastor that was a senior now. Came to visit our church in New York, and he was preaching. And before he opened up God's word, he said this: I never want to stand before you and in this pulpit without feeling the earth tremble beneath my feet.
Amen.
He said, I've been doing this for over 50 years, and to this day, my greatest fear is that God won't be with me. That is my greatest fear. I don't want to come before you with eloquence. Lord knows I'm not an eloquent man. I'm not interested in having anybody pat me on the back. What I want is for God to breathe on me as I share this simple word and the truth of his word. That's what we all need. There can be no flaming gifts without the breath of God breathing on us. That's why, can I encourage you on Tuesday nights, come on out to pray. Because more than ever before, if we're going to see 250 souls saved and water baptized, we need God to breathe upon every facet of ministry in this church. Now we need fuel, something to burn. Now, what does that mean? Well, Pastor Toledo alluded to that last week in his message. Fuel. Here's the fuel that God needs in order for our gift to be aflame. Surrender.
Amen.
A surrendered life. The Bible tells us, in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9, the priest will burn the entire sacrifice on the altar as a burnt offering. It is a special gift, a pleasing aroma to God. God only breathes on surrender. What does that mean? And listen, let me say this. There is no such thing as a one-time surrender. The moment you say, well, I surrendered my heart to the Lord back in 1985, then we're in big trouble. Every single day that God gives you and I breath is a day for surrender. And multiple times during the day are times for surrender. Because the Holy Spirit may bring you into a place where all of a sudden now, pastor may come up to you and say, sister, we need you to get involved in this ministry. And at that moment, that ministry that he named is foreign to you. You don't want to do that. But now you have a choice to make. Are you going to yield and surrender? Or are you going to resist? The moment you and I resist surrendering, the flame starts to go out. Passion starts to wane. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been serving the Lord, I can't stress this enough, that we need to surrender multiple times during the day. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to accomplish. Because how are those 250 souls going to be saved? Well, God may come to you. I'm going to come back to my section again. I'm just sensing. God may tell you, I want you to bring 10 people into this church that don't know him. And he's like, oh, I never talked to anybody about the Lord. I'm not a good speaker. And God said, I put a gift in you. See, if God is leading you to do something, it's because the gift to do it is already there. Oh, but I haven't seen it. But you got to take the step first. Take the step of obedience, and you will see the gifts start to manifest itself. In this room, there is the great potential to see so many lives saved, water baptized, and filled with the Spirit and serving God. But it's going to take a surrendered church. Some of you, you know why the Tuesday night isn't filled? We have two services that are like this. We should have standing room only on the prayer meeting. But you know why? It's simple. We're not surrendered. Oh, I know I'm talking. I know. I understand. It's easier to stay home, isn't it? Man, to just rest and be comfortable. But then the nudge of the Holy Spirit, the church is praying. You need to be there. If you call yourself a member of the church, this is the place you ought to be on Tuesday night. As we all cry out together to see God do what only God can do. To release his delivering power into this house. Amen. Surrender. Every day, multiple times during the day. So that we can burn brightly for the Lord. And remember, the gifting is never for you. It's about helping others. If you say, well, but Pastor, I was at another church and nobody ever appreciated my gift, then it was about you and not others. Because when it's about others and serving the Lord, if you get no recognition, that's okay. I'm not here to get recognition. I'm here to help others and bring glory to God. That's my purpose. So I'm going to ask you to stand right now. I didn't say that lightly when I felt in the office that God saw me 250 souls this year getting water baptized. I believe that is what God is bringing before all of us. I say, will you take up that challenge? Will you partner with the Spirit of the Lord by using the gifting that's within you and fanning it into a flame? So that we can be a church of people utilizing their gifts, but passionate about that. See? We want, when people walk into those doors, if you're a greeter, my God, we want you to be passionate about greeting. Ain't nobody want to come into a church with, hey. If you're an usher, we don't want you. You got to come in. You got to be ushered with a smile. Happy to see you. Great. Let me show you to a good seed. We need every one of us passionate, because when there's greeting time, some of you, I seen you. You know who you are. You ain't never walked out of your radio. You're like, ain't no passion in you. Even to greet. No, we're laughing, but come on. That's what it's all about. Because every one of us wants to be welcomed.
Amen.
But how's that going to happen? Well, the other guy, that's the welcome committee. No, that's you. That's all of us. And I want to pray this morning and believe God that we're going to see gifts ignited by the power of God in this house. Gifts that are dormant are going to be used. Gifts where the flame has gone out are going to be reignited. And we're going to see God do something great in this house through every single one of us.